What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just about to wrap up hour one here. That was fast. A lot of fun, man. That was great to catch up with Mark Johnson about the Buffs. And you know what? There's a lot of exciting prospects around the area as far as teams that might make it to March Madness. And the Buffs certainly are going to have their shot, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening in the Pac-12 tournament. But that's why we watch. That's why we play the game. Who knows? Maybe there's something special there in Evan Batty's final year for Colorado. Holyoke says, I love Malone. To use your words, the Nugs have done it organically. Team bonding and camaraderie has its advantage. You're right. They have found the perfect balance. We'll talk about more of that next. We got the Swole Cracker Steve Ivey coming up. Second hour. Whole show. We'll be right back.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, just 35 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Hope your Friday is off to a wonderful start. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, the Buffs were rocking and rolling, and I'm thinking, no, they're going to get through Arizona State. Arizona State never wins in Boulder, but they found a way to get it done. And I mean, I don't know how realistic it was to think that the Buffs would get like an at-large bid anyway, but that one almost kind of silences that effort. Now we're kind of looking for best Pac-12 standings and making some magic happen in the Pac-12 tournament.
Well, that's what you call laying an egg
last
night. I mean, you know, here you've got a team, and I was just on, in fact, an hour ago with the Pac-12 Network talking about this very thing, and I told them, I said, you know, it's college athletics, so who can figure it out, right? You got a team that's won five in a row. Their offensive numbers were spectacular during that five-game winning streak. Three straight on the road, of course, last week. And you're heading down the home stretch. You've got 18 wins. You're back in the battle for the first round bye to Pac-12, you know, battling Oregon for, you know, that number four seed. And then you come home and just walk out there and look like you're running in cement all night long. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, that's one of those that, you know, it'll go down as one of those most perplexing games I've seen in a long time. But, you know, it just – Bill McCartney always used to say, you know, the mental is to physical is four is to one. And that was not a physical problem last night. That was all between the ears for a young basketball team. And they came out and laid an egg. So, yeah, very disappointing.
What a bummer, too. And how about this, Mark? So how realistic were those conversations? I mean, were they heating up? I mean, you said it, a five-game winning streak. This Buffs team, you know, they climbed up, way up in the Pac-12 standings, sitting, in fifth place. Was there realistic talk in your neck of the woods about, okay, you keep rolling like this, maybe there is some kind of at-large consideration?
Well, it all depends what happens. I mean, you got to win games. But so the net going into that game last night was number 81. Okay, that's outside the bubble, obviously, way outside the bubble. Okay, but you've got a chance. So let's say you catch lightning in the bottle. You keep playing very well. You knock off the number 2 team in America, right? You went to the Pac-12 tournament now off a victory like that. That means you've beaten two teams that are playing much better in Arizona State and Utah as well as Arizona. Now you're at 21 wins. And I've been saying all along, I thought they had to get to the championship game at a bare minimum, and still it was a little bit dicey at that point in time. But, you know, if you get there, you got 21, now you got three more wins. Now you're all of a sudden, well, you probably only have two more wins because you probably got the first round bye if that was the case if you ran the table. So you're sitting at 23 wins at that point with 9 losses. You know, you got a chance anyway, depending on how things fall around the country. But, you know, Now you've doomed yourself. Now the only way you get to the NCAA tournament is winning the Pac-12 conference tournament, which they're capable of doing. But it's just disappointing that they came out and played that way. You know, Ted Boyle came out last night in his post game and was apoplectic afterward. And nobody is more honest and frank about his team and self analytical about his team than Ted is on a post game interview. He's phenomenal in that regard. But the one thing he said that really resonates, he said, "I can handle getting beat." Okay, that happens in sports, right? No matter if you're a good team or not, you're going to get beat at some point in time. He said, I just don't like the fact that we beat ourselves. Arizona State didn't beat Colorado last night. CU didn't even give itself a chance to win that ballgame last night. That's what's so disheartening about it.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, when you and I talked last week, we were looking at that realistic possibility of grabbing 20 wins, and we thought, okay, that should be it. I mean, that should be the one that this team's able to grab. But now you got to pull off some craziness if you want to get that. Obviously, Utah's the last game of the season, but that game tomorrow night, as you said, it's the last home game of the season. Who knows? Maybe there's some magic there. But what I mean, Mark, what are we talking about? What are the realistic chances that the Buffs team can pull off the major upset?
Well, there's always a chance. I mean, There's Cinderella stories every single year. Colorado's beaten very good teams in the past, so, you know, there's always a chance. But, you know, the thing about it is you've got an Arizona team playing very well right now. If Colorado plays anything remotely close to they did last night, well, there's no chance. But if they come out and play like they're capable of playing, like we've seen them play here in the recent past, certainly they can compete with them. They competed with them. They were down, I think, what, 1 or 2 points at halftime down at Arizona here a few weeks ago. And so, you know, they can play. Listen, Arizona is not like, Kareem Abdul or Lou Alcindor in the UCLA Bruins back in the day. I mean, let's not make them out to something they're not. They're a very good basketball team. They're one of the four or five best basketball teams in America. Make no mistake about it. They're a very offensively explosive team, but they're not insurmountable. I mean, this isn't going to go down as one of the great teams of all time. So, yeah, if Colorado plays well tomorrow night, they will be in that ball game and they'll compete with them and have a chance to win at home. But if they don't, they have no chance at all.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you kind of the overall landscape, too. How do you feel looking at these teams, these top 10 teams or so? As you said, Arizona, number two, but, you know, they're not going to go down as this crazy historic team. What are you looking at when you see these teams this year? I mean, do you feel like in the top 10, my goodness, any of these guys are beatable by even, you know, kind of the middle-of-the-road teams, edging outside of the middle of the road? What's your opinion on the landscape of the top 10 teams or so?
Well, I think there are very good teams out there. I think Gonzaga is a very good team. I think Arizona is a very good team. They're both offensively explosive. And by the way, how do you like the fact you've got Mark Few and then the guy that was his assistant coach for 20 years playing the number two, or rather coaching the number two team in America? So they play very similar. I think Baylor is a very good team. I think Duke is a very good team. I mean, go on down. I think Kentucky's a very good. But, you know, I don't know that I look at any of these teams and think these are all-time great teams right now. I mean, in recent years, you know, you've seen, you know, Kentucky had a little bit of a run there with John Calipari where they had some spectacular teams. You had, in recent years, North Carolina's had some. Duke has had some at different times. And so there are teams you look at and go, well, that, you know, last year going into the tournament, I thought Baylor and Gonzaga were head above everybody in the country, okay? I think now you're looking at all these teams, and they're very good. Do I think they're all-time great teams? Absolutely not. I think they're very, very good teams. So I think if you look at the tournament, I think you've got probably, I'm going to say six or seven that you say are probably legitimate national championship contenders. And you always say that with a caveat because, you know, I go back in my history to 2003. Nobody thought Syracuse was going to win the national championship, but they did that year. Whoever catches fire at the right time. There are a lot of talented teams out there. But we've just got to – I think we've got a tendency in modern sports to always, you know, ordain somebody, one of the greatest of all time. Or every game we see, it's an instant classic. No, it's a very good game. Let's be honest about it. 25 years from now, we'll determine if it's a great team or a very good, or it's a great game or a classic or those kind of things. But we just overstate things so frequently. And so that's all I'm saying. Arizona is as good as anybody in the country. Colorado's going to have an enormous challenge tomorrow night. If they play as talented as they are, if they play a clean basketball game with great energy and intensity, take care of the basketball, and shoot the ball well, they'll have a shot against Arizona tomorrow.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And when you look at the rest of the Pac-12, I mean, obviously you got, you know, the Arizonas, the UCLAs kind of leading the brigade. How do you think the Pac-12 is going to show out when it's all said and done? I mean, you think Arizona, even though, like we're saying, maybe they're not historic, but if they can catch fire at the right time, maybe they can go on a run. UCLA maybe can go on a run and put on a show and good representation for the rest of the conference.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, they're all very, very capable because that's why they're ranked in the top 15 of the country. UCLA was in the Final Four a year ago, right? So they got everybody back. So they're one of the teams. I think Arizona is very capable. I think Oregon is exceptionally talented. Now, they've been inconsistent, but they've got an opportunity because of how deep and talented they are. They're a team that can catch fire and really make a run. I think I think if you look at the Pac-12 tournament, like I said, I was just talking with the guys in the Pac-12. We were discussing this. I think Arizona State and Washington State have got a chance to really make a run. I think Colorado's in that same group where they can make a run. Listen, you don't stumble into 18 wins. I mean, that just doesn't happen by accident. Bad teams don't win 18 games. Colorado's been inconsistent, but they are very talented. So I think right now you've got Arizona. They're hands down the top team in the league. I think UCLA is probably number two. Then you got that group of, I think, USC, Oregon a half step behind them, Colorado a half step behind them, Washington right there with Colorado. As hot as Arizona State, as talented as they are playing right now, they can catch fire and really cause some problems. I mean, look what Oregon State did last year. Oregon State had no shot of making the tournament, got to the Pac-12, made a heck of a run, got to the title game. If Jariah Horn hits a three-pointer, a wide-open three at the end, Oregon State loses. Colorado wins the Pac-12 championship, and Oregon State doesn't go to the NCAA tournament. And what do they do when they got there? Because, Jariah misses a shot. They end up winning the ball game. They go to the Elite Eight. And so that's what's fun about this time of year is there's a lot of talented teams out there. There are very rarely do we call them great teams, but they're talented. And boy, if you catch fire at the right time and you're playing good basketball, you can make a run.
That's what makes it so fun and probably so frustrating for coaches and players too, is that you can be special all year, and if a team that's, kind of been average under the radar becomes even more special, they can knock you out. And that's the beauty of this tournament. And I'll tell you, Mark, and you're around that program every single day, all the time, and I know you're not as shocked, but I'm still pretty damn impressed with Tad Boyle and this young crew, because I look at it and go, wow, 18-10, 10-8, fifth place right now in the Pac-12. I'm still pretty blown away by that. I didn't really have expectations for the Buffs this year, and I certainly didn't think, man, maybe with the five-game winning streak, maybe we are talking about them slipping in.
I think, I don't know if I'm sure if I said on your show last week or not, but I think last night notwithstanding, listen, there have been three moments this season where Colorado has really underachieved, okay? I'm not even going to count the Southern Illinois loss early in the season because it was very early and all these kids were out there playing for the first time and they ended up getting beat. But I think Washington, Washington State, and Arizona State, they're your three games where Colorado went out and late and did not play very well. But overall, Tad Boyle, I think, has done a phenomenal coaching job with this team to get them where they are right now at 18-10. I think it's been amazing what he's been able to get out of these guys. Now, the thing that gets frustrated for Tad or any coach out there, we just talked about, is when a team catches fire and begins to play very well, you think, well, where was it all along?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we see teams play, whatever team, whether it's Oregon State last year or Colorado, after a five-game losing streak, what they did last night, why haven't they played with that kind of intensity all the time? Or why did it come and go at different times? And that's what young teams have to learn. What's happening with Colorado right now, this is a team whose identity is on the offensive end. And what I mean by that, what coaches mean by that, is that's where they generate their energy. When the shots are falling and, things are going well, that's when the energy then matriculates over to the defensive side. Great teams, if you look at when Arizona comes in here, they don't rely upon their offense. They're a very good offensive team, one of the best in the country. But defensively is where they really generate their, their energy, if you will, their intensity. Gonzaga does that. Other great teams in the country, that's what they learn to do. They're so good defensively that everything flows from that. That's when you know you've got a talented and a mature basketball team. And that's still part of kind of what's going on between the ears of the Buffaloes that they're working on.
Yeah, I tell you, though, assuming you can return a lot of these young guys, and I know that's a big assumption now in this day and age, but you should expect some be the reverse. The expectation should be fairly high for CU next year.
Oh, without question. And think, Brady, they've got four guys who haven't played a moment of basketball or who had their seasons come to an end who would have been major contributors. Quincy Allen and Javon Ruffin. Quincy Allen was the number one recruit in that top 15 recruiting class Tad had last year. He hasn't played a moment. Javon Ruffin is a great shooter. He hasn't played a moment. Then Lawson Lovering and Elijah Parquet, of course, went down during the season. So, you've got plenty of talent. You've got all kinds of talent coming back. The expectation will be much higher and much more focused, a year from now. And then you've got a phenomenal kid coming in from North Dakota who's a highly regarded big man they've got coming in. He's a 6'10", 6'11" guy, and a wing coming in from California that I talked to his AAU coach. He was raving about him. So, no, this thing will be loaded. And they knew this year was going to be maybe inconsistent. They thought it was very a talented team. Ted said, we're going to have some ball games that are going to be exceedingly high, and others were going to be frustrated as heck, and it's turned out that way. But, talent will win you ball games. But great intensity, especially on the defensive end, the way you rebound, those kind of, those are what win you, you know, 20, 25 games and conference championships and, you know, deep runs in the NCAA tournament. That's yet what this team has got to learn.
Mark, what time do we get going tomorrow in this big one? And like you said, anything's possible. And, boy, wouldn't that be something if the Buffs could get this one and carry that into the Pac-12 tournament. What time do you guys get rocking and rolling?
5:30 on the network and 6 o'clock with the tip-off tomorrow. And, you know, like all college basketball teams ready this time of year. You got Senior Day coming up, and so it'll be emotional afterwards. They say goodbye to all four seniors, but really, you know, Evan Banning has become such a special guy for this program. And so that'll be a lot of fun in many respects tomorrow.
Yeah, and a great guy, too. And I know you get so close with these guys doing your interviews and just getting to know him. And he's one of the good ones for sure.
No doubt. I mean, he's the epitome of college athletics. Wears his heart in its sleeve. And I think he'll go down, out of all the years I've been doing this, he goes down as the kid that has been the most connective with not only the student body, but the you know, Buff Nation and the community. And he's just one of those unique guys that, you know, kind of has become part of what college athletics is supposed to be about, and that's why they're fun to watch. And so, you know, there were plenty of great players, you see. And we always love, I mean, you know, we had McKinley right last year. And you've got, you know, Roddy up at CSU. Those are great, great players. Evan is unique in terms of what he's done, in terms of kind of affecting, if you will, the community around him. And that's why he's such a unique guy, and those guys are very rare.
Yeah, no question. We could use a lot more of those guys around the state, around the country, to be honest, when it comes to basketball. Mark, my friend, always appreciate you. We'll be looking forward to that one tomorrow night.
All right. See you, Brian.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I am impressed with the Buffs. I do not think they're going to beat Arizona tomorrow. I do not think they're going to do anything wacky in the Pac-12 tournament. Their season's going to end, and maybe they get one of those secondary tournament thingies. CIT, NIT, TIT, TNT, whatever it is. You can tell I'm a huge fan of those. But I do think next year you can expect the Buffs to get back into the NCAA tournament. 12:51 the time. Before we break, Marinda Simpson. Having someone local has never been more important for this Northern Colorado area. She's here and ready to help. Marinda is your local State Farm insurance agent in the Fort Collins and Northern Colorado area. Lifetime member of the Colorado State Alumni Association. She's an active CSU Ram Club member. She's in Fort Collins, of course, and deals with auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, and business insurance in Northern Colorado. Call Marinda Simpson with State Farm Insurance today at 970-223-7800. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break when we come back. Aaron Rodgers, what's going on with him? What's the next step there? Are we any closer to figuring out what he's going to be doing, or should we be done completely and just put him out of our brains? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's Friday. You're feeling good. Trying to get out and enjoy something, right? Weld Works, every single Friday, they're doing a new beer release. And 28 minutes ago, they just released another one. Stop by Weld Works today. You know, perfect place to go grab a beer. It's warming up a little bit. They got the introduction of the Annex, brand new eatery in downtown Greeley that's going to be a part of Weld Works. I hear about this world famous double cheeseburger. Sounds really, really good. So I'm going to go there next week, so I'll be able to give you guys the rundown on all things the Annex. I'm looking forward to it. Tell you what, I don't have a lot of time here. I want to talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. We'll look over this. I'll talk about this more, but the UNC Bears lose last night to Eastern Washington, and that was the game they would have loved to grab because it would have clinched the first-round bye. Now, the Bears have to – now, I heard Jerry Schimmel say they just – if they can win tomorrow, they'll clinch it. They must have some roundabout way of tiebreaker then because Eastern Washington still has three games remaining on their schedule, and they're two games now behind the UNC Bears. I'm looking at the standings right now. The Bears are 11-6. Eastern Washington is 9-8, and Eastern Washington still has – they have at Sacramento State tomorrow, probably will win that. Then they're home against Northern Arizona. They're home against Portland State. There's a good chance they win out. I mean, I would maybe if they just beat Idaho, that's it. It's definitely a must-win one way or the other because you don't want to lose against Idaho tomorrow and then say you have to win out against Montana at Montana State or at least even grab one of those. So I'm saying tomorrow's about as must-win as you can get. We'll talk about that more in a little bit more detail later on the show. 30 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real fast. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up. The Buffs are, you know what? They've had a surprisingly decent season, I'll say. You know, they've made a nice run. They put themselves in the middle of the Pac-12. They're actually in fifth place. So we'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash. Welcome in on this Friday, February 25th. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. We got Jade's on the other side of the bulletproof glass ready to rock and roll today as we round out the week. I was off yesterday. I know it was bad timing because of, well, we wanted to hit some of the recap of Colorado State and Wyoming. But, okay, we'll talk about it today. We'll hit a little bit of that today. I got a lot to hit, though. We got Nugget stuff. UNC loses last night to Eastern Washington. They had a chance to clinch the first round bye. Now things get interesting. Tomorrow kind of turns out to be maybe a must win because the last two games for UNC are at Montana and Montana State on the road. They've been pretty good on the road, but those are two teams that you don't want to say, hey, these are must wins. So tomorrow's a big one. Going up against Idaho. So we'll get to that. We'll have the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, join us. No, the Buffs don't look now. I know they lost Arizona State, but quietly putting together a positive season. What does it all mean? Yeah, they're going to have to win the Pac-12 tournament for them to go dancing. I don't think those were ever the expectations this season for Tad Boyle's young Buffs crew. So we'll talk about that. We got social media wars going on again. We got Russell Wilson pulling off his Seattle Seahawks bio information on his Instagram. What does that mean? Well, what did it mean with Kyler Murray? It meant he wants more money. I don't know. Is Russell not long for Seattle now? We've been told like crazy that Russell's not going anywhere. What's the latest with Aaron Rodgers? Are we going to know soon? The Packers essentially have their press conference the other day with Gutekunst, who was like, you know, we're going to be respectful to him, too. We'll sit down and figure this thing out. Also said that they did not agree before Rodgers came back to Green Bay last year at training camp. They did not agree to trade him. That was not part of the deal for him coming back. So that was all probably just conjured up by the media, I suppose. Or they just forgot. And if they just forgot, maybe that's another sore subject for Aaron Rodgers, where he's looking at it going, hey, wait a second. No, we did. So we'll get into that. Mountain West Conference. Got our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Which Mountain West team is most likely to miss out on the tournament? San Diego State, Wyoming, Boise State, or Colorado State? Or all four are getting in? 37% of the Hooligans say San Diego State. And that's where it looks like right now. Today. If the season were to end today. However, the Mountain West, being as interesting as it is, three or four games per team, maybe even five, there's still a lot to be figured out. You mean to tell me if Boise State loses tomorrow night against UNLV, which is, I think, a very decent possibility, Boise State's not suddenly in the pressure cooker? So the votes go like this. San Diego State, second place, is all four getting in, which I felt really good about 3 weeks ago. I don't know that I feel so good about it now. I think there's going to be three. Third place is Wyoming. Boise State and CSU are tied at the bottom. I think people feel pretty good. This probably would have been reversed if CSU would have lost to Wyoming the other night. Talk about an environment, dude. Wow. Sellout crowd again at Moby Arena. 80, 8,400 plus, or what was it, 8,600? Going crazy. You had the student section just slicing into Wyoming fans. And I want to say a couple of things here, and I do not want this to get misconstrued at all. I love Moby Madness. I think it's a blast. I love the rivalry. I'm not nuts about the F Wyoming chants. That's just me coming from a dad. You know, if I were 18 going to games, I suppose it would be a different story. I don't even know. I was never that kind of guy. I'm not a boo bird either. I don't even boo my least favorite teams. I've never been that guy. I'm not nuts about the F Wyoming chants, especially there was one moment where CSU was like honoring their swim team, and that's when the student section just decided to go into one of those chants. Like, come on. And then a couple of times we had some thrown objects onto the floor. Like, that's your floor, bro. That's your floor. Take care of it. You were, now I know CBS Sports ended up not showing the whole game because they had triple overtime with Xavier and who was it? Providence or something. And then there was like a leak in the roof because they play their games in a barn or something. So that was delayed. So I think people at home only got to watch like the last 7 minutes. That all being said, you're on national television. You got a chance to rep your school, your city, your team. Listen, it's not the hill I'm going to die on today. I'm not going to fight the chance. Definitely going to fight the crap on the floor. Find the dude or girl that's throwing stuff on the floor, and they're done. You're done one time. That's dangerous, man. Guys can roll an ankle quickly on that stuff. So didn't like that, all right? Again, I said don't misconstrue it. The environment was a blast. I was distracted because the people watching is crazy, man. Like the Wyoming fans getting after it, the student section getting after it, so much trash talk. Jeffries for Wyoming goes off, and he's looking up at the student section. Like, I love it. So don't get me wrong. That rivalry is so much fun. I'm going to bring my kid to the game at some point, and do I want him to hear F Wyoming chants, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a game? Probably not. But again, like I said, that's not the hill I'm going to die on today. Environment was fantastic. I think as you grow your fan base and you start selling out on a regular basis like this, I mean, their average is going to break a record. Pretty sure, right? As you grow a fan base, you also need to train your fan base. Now look at Peyton Manning. Remember Peyton Manning training Broncos fans to not talk during offense? Like, it was quiet. You could hear a pin drop at Mile High or whatever. What was it at the time? Invesco? Okay. You train your audience. That's probably the same thing Moby's going to have to start doing. Hey, we train our fan base. We want you rowdy. We want you talking trash. We want you doing all that stuff, having a blast, make an event. But you don't throw stuff on the floor, ever. And you know what? Maybe we can change it to F Wyoming instead of the actual word, right? And again, I don't know if they're fighting that one. But I would imagine there's probably old fogies like me that walked away going, I wish they wouldn't curse as much. Yeah, it is what it is, man. It was a great game. Oh, and the spread was 6.5, Jades. And what happened when the Rams were up 6 with 7 seconds? My guy, David Roddy, missed the free throw. Oh, I'm not kidding you, man. I'm looking around the fan base, and they've all got their DraftKings apps up. Everybody, like, I'm looking over. I'm not spying on their bets. You can't help but notice. They pull out their phone, and that green DraftKings light shines brightly. And I'm like, yeah, everybody's checking to make sure that that wasn't 6 by chance, but it was 6.5. Who cares? You know, I hope you didn't put the mortgage on it. Have fun with betting. That's what I say. Betting Across America is a great show, but they'll even say, hey, bet what you can. Don't bet what you need. Bet what you can. Have fun with it. Don't make it so stressful that if you lose it, it's going to be terrible. So that's my advice that I'll give you. Throw a few bucks at games. That's kind of my strategy. It makes it fun. But that was crazy. Roddy misses, but I don't think Roddy lost any sleep over it. The crowd stormed the court, and it was a magical environment. David Roddy is, mark my words, Jades, David Roddy is an NBA player. He's an NBA player. I did a quick little prediction game on Twitter yesterday since I was off. The Rams are going dancing. Roddy's going to be playing in the NBA. The Nuggets are going to make one hell of a push. I think they're going to crack the top 5, if not better. And Drew Lock will be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos next year. Where am I going to get my credit for this? Because all the, now I love Denver media, but I'm seeing it now. They're starting to change their tune to, well, that's the only option. You think Rodgers was never a possibility? Russell Wilson, intriguing, but you're not trading the farm for him. You're just not going to do that. He hasn't been good enough to warrant what maybe he's going to, what maybe Seattle would want for him, if that's even where we're going with this. So we'll get into all that. It's going to be Drew Lock. Not that he's the best, not that he's like your best bet. It's just you don't want to keep churning out these two-year, three-year deals for guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and such. You can't keep getting lost in that. And Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins, if there's a trade, like these guys are going to want longer-term deals. So stop with the Case Keenum two-year, $20 million a year deal. That's not where we need to go anymore. You ride out Drew Lock's contract. You call it, it is what it is. It's a new regime in Denver. I know some of you think that they started the reload last year with Sertan and Javonte Williams. No, this is the reboot. You got a brand new coaching staff. You got a second year GM now. You're going to have a new owner. Next year's the reboot. You ride it out with Drew Lock. You see if there's any kind of ounce of belief in him. And if not, fine. You ride his contract out and then you start fresh next year. The year after that, excuse me. I know Broncos fans don't want to hear that because it's like, wait, we want to go to the playoffs now. And you still could. I'm not one of those guys that says Drew Lock is done. I'm not. I don't think his talent is completely. I don't think his use is completely out. I think he still might have something left. Now that's a big if. But this is probably going to be the route that they go, unless the Rodgers thing becomes realistic, and I don't think it will. How about the Nuggets last night? Yeah, the win was great, beating Sacramento. That was fantastic to get that dub, no doubt. But I think what gets lost, kind of, with Joker being the himself and how good he is, and obviously wondering if Jamal Murray and MPJ is going to get back. Michael Malone took the job as the head coach of the Nuggets back in 2016. The Nuggets were a train wreck when he got there. Brian Shaw was supposed to be the guy that could get the Nuggets to the playoffs, past the first round. Well, he couldn't even get them close. So then Michael Malone's the guy to say, okay, get us back on track here. Since 2016, here's what his records have looked like, just his win totals. 33. That was the first year, right? Just be respectable. The very next year, 40 and 42. They missed the playoffs by 1 year. The next year after that, 40, or no, one game, excuse me. Two games, maybe. 46 and 36 was their record the following year. They did not go to the playoffs. They missed, that was the year they missed it by one. I think like Minnesota got them. 2019, 54 wins. They did win a first round in the playoffs. 2020, 46 wins. That was a shortened season, of course, 73 games. They did win. They won 9 playoffs games, so they got past the first round on that one as well. And then 2021, again, a shortened season, 72 games, 47 wins, and they got past a first round again, got swept by Phoenix the next year. And this year, they're 34-25 and coming on strong through 59 games. Here's Michael Malone on what it means. He got win number 300 with the Nuggets. He had 39 with the Kings. Here's win number 300 with Denver.
No, you know, it was really a nice moment in the locker room. Nikola gave me the game ball and said some really, really nice words, which was touching. I mean this when I say this. I don't look at numbers and stats of how many wins I have. That's the least of my concerns. The fact that I've got 300 wins means that I've been able to coach 7 years in Denver, rather, with a tremendous group of players, coaching staff, front office, and ownership, all that I alluded to prior to the game. This is a tough business. You know, I mean, I got fired in my first job. I've seen my father get fired. This business is not for the weak-minded. So I'm just thankful to be in an organization that values family, culture, and to have ownership continue to believe in me. It means the world to me and my family. So here's to 300 more.
That's awesome, right? It's hard to believe he's been there already. This is his seventh season. I'm a big Michael Malone fan. He is, I think he's done a really great job. He gets knocked sometimes late in the season, or if the Nugget, you know, in these last playoff games, going to go into too many sevens. It's like, come on, guys. We did 8 years of George Karl, and you know I love George Karl. We did 8 years of first round exits, except for 1 year when they went to the Western Conference Finals. You got a coach now. You got a team now. It's going to be a given that they're going to get past the first round. After that, yeah, it's going to be a battle. I think the NBA is getting so stacked, spread out, but stacked at the same time. Like, I don't think it's as cut and dry as it used to be. And I predicted that a few years ago. I said, watch, all these superstars are going to spread out. You're going to see teams have, like, the Suns and the Warriors, certainly the favorites. I don't think anybody's going to absolutely be shocked if Memphis does something crazy. And if Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. come back, I don't think the Nuggets, I don't think the fan base is going to be shocked if they don't go do something crazy. And that's get to the Western Conference Finals. And that's maybe even get to an NBA Finals. So it's very spread out. But congratulations to Michael Malone. Remember that, fired from the Kings. His first year with the Kings, he was 28-54. They fired him the next year when he went 11-13. He was only two games under 500. Boogie Cousins at the time was his star. He got like the flu or something. And he was out for like 2 weeks. And so Malone and company are two games under 500 with their superstar out, and they fire him. So it was a rough go for him. Nuggets picked him up, and to me, I think it's been a dream come true. He's fit in extremely, or he's done extremely well. And then Tim Conley, now Calvin Booth, along with Tim Conley, are building up this team and giving Malone the tools he needs to succeed. So congratulations to Michael Malone. Big story of the day. Let's get to that real quick. The big story of the day to me, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Pop over to that. There's a lot of big stories right now, right? Obviously, the biggest story going on right now in all of the world is Russia's attack of Ukraine right now. And no, listen, this is I'm not going to talk about this much. I'm not qualified to talk about this much. You have people that are qualified to talk about this, but I will say on the sports side of it, last night before the Nuggets game, the Nuggets and the Kings did do a kind of a interlocking, all the Kings and the Nuggets together, a moment of silence for Ukraine. Obviously, the Kings center, Alex Len, is a Ukrainian, so they were showing some solidarity there. I hope there's more shows of some kind of solidarity, and I don't know how much it, you know, really helps or whatever, but it's those kind of things I think are very important. You know, I think it gets lost. We've been bickering so long in this country about Democrats and Republicans and how certain people don't have it this way, and then other people don't have it this way, and it's like you got war in your front yard. I mean, you're seeing the videos. There are videos out there that are just awful, that are disgusting, pure evil going on right now. And I'm not saying pure evil doesn't happen in the United States of America, but you have Ukraine that is just, I mean, you're seeing families split up, dads staying home, sending their families away so they can stay home and fight for their country. It's a scary time. And again, what can we do? Well, those moments of silence might not seem like a lot, but it is a powerful message. And hats off to the Nuggets and the Kings organization both for coming together to do that. 23 minutes after the hour. When we come back, UNC Bears, they lose last night to Eastern Washington. They had their chance to clinch that first round bye. They absolutely need it. They also damn near lose out on that opportunity to win the Big Sky Conference regular season. Doesn't matter. Got to get the first round bye first. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.